Today, we are going to read the book of De Corinthians 5, 16 and 6 à 2. Ainsi, désormais, nous ne percevons plus personne de manière humaine. Et si nous avons connu Christ de manière purement humaine, maintenant, nous les connaissons plus ainsi. Si quelqu'un est en Christ, il est une nouvelle créature. Les choses anciennes sont passées. Voici, toutes choses sont devenues nouvelles. Et tout cela vient de Dieu, qui nous réconcilie avec lui par Jésus-Christ, et qui nous a donné le ministère de la réconciliation. En effet, Dieu était en Christ. Il réconciliait le monde avec lui-même et ne chargea pas les hommes de leurs fautes. Et il a mis à nous la parole de la réconciliation. Nous sommes donc des ambassadeurs pour Christ, comme si Dieu adressait par nous son appel. Nous supplions au nom de Christ, soyez réconciliés avec Dieu. En effet, celui qui n'a pas connu le péché, il a fait devenir péché pour nous afin qu'en lui nous devenions justice de Dieu. Puisque nous travaillons avec Dieu, nous vous encourageons vivement à ne pas accueillir la grâce de Dieu sans résultat. En effet, il dit, au moment favorable, j'étais exaucé. Le jour du salut, j'étais secouru. Voici maintenant le moment favorable. Voici maintenant le jour du salut.
The prompt for the message this morning is the place we are at in the true story of the whole world, which is the mission of the church. But it's really not the mission of the church. It is the mission of God, and we have been assigned as ambassadors of that mission. So that's what brings us to the topic. This is what was discussed in the adult Sunday school classes 1 week ago, and the preparation for those Sunday school classes would have taken place I'm meeting with the leaders of those classes 1 week ago this past Wednesday. So that's the background. You've been thinking about that already if you participate in that class. I thought perhaps I could show you my lame visual, which breaking the Sabbath I made in my shop this morning. There's not much to it, but I'll be referencing it. However, there is hope, because I trust that you have the imagination to know what I intended it to be, and so you're going to have to fill in the gaps and see it for yourself. Shall we pray? Lord, we pray what we pray each day. May we have the eyes to see as you see, so that we may have the heart that is the very mind and heart of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the flow of the discussion that happened at that leaders' meeting was rather interesting. One of the things that happens there is I give a little bit of input. And so I started out by taking this text and giving some thoughts about it. And I will tell you that this particular text is much beloved by Mennonite peacemaker types, whatever that means. I hear it probably the most often in that context. To us is given the ministry of reconciliation. Things aren't right. And you can go down all the lists of the brokenness of the world. And we have been charged to be the ambassadors to help God make things right. That's peacemaking. It's inspiring. It's used in that context. And so I pointed that out to the class, except that, actually, let me say however, because this will be the first of several howevers. What does that text actually say? What does the text actually say? Well, it turns out that the reconciliation which is mentioned is vertically oriented. There's no way to dodge that. We shouldn't try to play tricks with the text. It is about us and our relationship with God. I'll read it again, this time in English. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us that message of reconciliation, reconciling us to himself in Christ. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal for this right relationship through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it's all about right relationship to God. It is about getting right with God vertically. That is the mission of the church. It's the mission of God, and it's been entrusted to us. It's the mission of the church. However, a second however, in our meeting, and it was so interesting, it was like God was just reminding us of all of the story that we know. What came to mind was, well, what about this text from Matthew 5, 23 and 24? Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, notice what that is, that's worship, right? If you're altering your gift at the altar, if you are worshiping God, if you're being in right relationship with God this way, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Then come and offer your gift. Aha! Depending on what you want the message of the Bible to be, there you have it. First, it's this. It's the horizontal. It's the relationship with the brother. Then, once you have tended to this, which is first, then comes the vertical thing. However, number three, think about that text from Matthew. There is a presupposition that one is in some way right with God in the first place, that you have an inclination to even come and worship. You should be worship-oriented. That should be your desire. That should be where your heart is. But if you remember this, then there's the other. The text does not say all that matters in this world, the primary thing, is being right with others. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that that's all that matters. So you get the feeling of what's going on? More text appeared. We started going in circles. That's where, then, I had in mind that somehow I was going to be able to take some sort of an object which would morph into a circle, and I didn't have the design capability, and so I'm using the excuse I didn't have time, but in fact, I didn't know how to do it. But we looked at all kinds of texts, those in the New Testament, those in the Old Testament. God is holy. But right recognition of God's holiness is to extend God's care to the widows and aliens and the needy. And I would observe that this discussion does not go usually in smooth circles. It goes in argumentative clunks. So you have people who are on both sides of this issue. This was my master woodworking. I drilled two holes, put a bolt through it. And it goes clunk, clunk. Isn't the most important thing that we should be saved, we should be right, we should be spiritual? Yes, but there's this. No, but there's this. Yes, but there's this. And rather than having the nice arcs and having this be one continuous circle, it is as if it rolls in clunks. It goes here, no, there's here, no, there's here, no, there's here, clunk, 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 clunk. And that's gone on for centuries among Christians as they try to say that it's an either-or kind of issue. Interestingly, Jesus was asked, well, where does one start? What is the most important? He was asked that very specifically. Which one commandment, got to choose one, is the most important? And he answered, it is these two. It is these two. Love God, love neighbor. Now, if we were able to fill in arcs somehow, let us say, for instance, that we wanted to be spiritual. I think one of the things which is, where we stub our toes is we have a narrow tunnel vision of what that means. We have stereotypes in our mind of perhaps things that were unappealing or unattractive to us. Perhaps we were kind of bopped over the head by people who said we weren't spiritual enough. But the reality is that within the practice of spirituality, we should be filling in almost an infinite number of ways that one can move closer to God, can experience God, can try to orient one's soul to God Almighty and know the holiness of God. For instance, there is one tradition which is very overtly public. You need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and so there are those of a Pentecostal bent that would say you need to speak in tongues, and that's there. And there is almost the opposite, where people have found themselves closer than they ever imagined to God in the tradition of emptying oneself, of meditation, of silence. It's been so interesting the way some of the reports that have come out of the Sunday school class of using one's senses, of drawing, of molding, of shaping, of forming, of hearing, has brought some people closer to God than they could ever imagine. And so being spiritual is not necessarily one certain thing. There's many things on the ark. And then to torque this even further are those things of the spiritual which are found on this axis instead. So here was St. Francis of Assisi, the most well-known example, who went out and as he looked at the world around him, his eye wasn't to heaven, his eye was out to earth, but it was all relationship. He talked about brother sun and sister moon, or maybe it was the other way around, but he talked about the animals and he could see God's love everywhere. I saw a special recently on the great naturalist John Muir, probably the father of the natural parks movement. He was forced as a small child to memorize the Bible. He memorized 2/3 of the Bible and was whipped if he didn't get it as a small Presbyterian child by his stern father. This is what you need to know. And in the end, John Muir had a profound sense of God's presence in the very rocks and water and plants and so forth of what came to be Yosemite Park. It's an ark. We could fill that in. We could talk about that at such length. Which one commandment is most important? And Jesus answered these two. I would like to tell you my experience of how I have come gradually to have in my life at least the start of a wheel which rolls more smoothly. At age 22, I entered service with Mennonite Central Committee in Brazil. That's the organization that works at feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. In Brazil, it was oriented toward development. And there is no question that at that point in my life, what I was inclined to was this. Okay, I've done the Christian stuff, I've been baptized, I go to church and so forth, but what really matters is poverty, and I'm going to do something about poverty. I'm going to work at development, horizontal peacemaking. That's what God wants of me, and I was paying very little attention to this. I have to just confess it. I wasn't in a state of not believing, but I was in a state of not paying a lot of attention to this. But it was interesting. As I went saying, okay, fine, I'm a Christian, but let me get to the real stuff, many of my fellow co-workers in MCC were more devout than I was. That is, they were more oriented to this, and I was a part of that unit, and so I went to retreats, and I took part in unit devotions, and generally I heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people who spoke of their personal relationship with Jesus Christ and where they had found God in their lives. And out of that relationship came, out of this relationship, they came to the same place I was, which was love of neighbor, one of the two which was one. They came to the point of prayer and forgiveness and humility. And it was as if the whole circle started spinning, that the more they served, the more they knew Jesus. And the more they knew Jesus, the more they wanted to serve. The more they were involved in this horizontal and poured themselves into the lives of refugees that settled in a town. How do we relate to these beloved people? And I'm guessing that at times the answer was, we have no idea, and what are we going to do? We're going to fall on our knees and we are going to pray, Lord, may we have the eyes to see as you see. And they were able to do something which is so absent in so many parts of this country. They were able to see beyond the stranger as threat and to see the stranger as beloved. Those stories happen over and over and over again. And brothers and sisters, here is the story of the whole world. The circle. Paul says the whole creation is groaning. It's waiting to be born again. It isn't as God imagined. Whether it's the mistreated environment, or the person who knows nothing of Jesus, or the person who's far from home, the whole creation is groaning. God's dream is of restoration of a good creation where every single place there is a crack dividing creation, that crack might be healed. That encompasses all of God's good creation and God's dream. And in that sense, we are ambassadors for, and again, I can't make this happen, but if you could imagine this thing spinning so fast that all you could see was a circle where service leads to prayer, which leads to forgiveness, which leads to generosity, which leads to submission, fill in the cracks as you will. That is the true story of the whole world. That is the biblical story. But my concern this morning, and what I invite you to bring to this communion table, is this. Square wheels go bump. But you don't have to just think in terms of a square. I have observed in myself, I have observed as a pastor in others, that it is almost inevitable that in that great circle, there are places where there might be a little divot, a little wedge that is taken out of our lives. Sometimes it's a big divot. That is to say, I'm primarily interested in spiritual things, and as far as all of this liberal do-good stuff, and labels are usually attached as an excuse to not do stuff, the horizontal, that's not really my thing. Or the absolute opposite is the case. When something's in the bulletin about this, I respond, but you know, retreats and growing in this area, and that's not really my thing. But here's the deal. It's not about what's our thing, it is about what is God's thing, you see. That's really what we're trying to understand. And all that I am suggesting is probably every one of us has a natural tendency, a giftedness, something, an inclination, that's fine. It's not that all people do all things, but I am suggesting to you that the things we label as, I won't be doing that one because it just somehow isn't me, is probably an area of growth. That's probably an area of growth. So for me as a 22-year-old, growth had to do with personal devotions, personal piety, and so forth and so on. For someone who has spent their whole life on their knees, it might be time to get up off your knees and to get the calluses not on your knees, but get them on your hands. That is the ministry. That is the ministry of reconciliation. Be living life, rolling along in full circle. And I will tell you that the service of communion is one vivid symbol of this full circle. What Jesus says is, remember. Remember how I loved you, and within the larger context which brought us to communion, you have washing feet, service, making oneself nothing, not lording it over, seeing that all are included, celebrating and attaching importance to fellowship, to right relationships, at the same time that vividly Jesus says, and beyond that, and in addition to that, or as a part of that. There is something about this vertical, this going to the cross and resurrection, which opens a door which would not otherwise be available to you. And to discount that and say, I can do all of the rest of this of my own power, is to be outside of what communion is. What is the greatest commandment? Love God. Love God. Embrace salvation. Discover what road you're on spiritually, and love neighbor. The second is the greatest as the first, and the first is the greatest as the second. There are many doorways to the ways of God. I am glad that I went to Brazil with MCC. That doorway of service was the start of a long journey, and it continues. I find myself today on this stage on that journey, and I went in the doorway of deciding that I was going to serve. And for others, it may be that you're going on a spiritual retreat or whatever it might be. You do a Curcio weekend, or you simply, in the privacy of your own heart, you stop and are silent. And in that silence, there is a small whisper where God says, I know you and I love you. The problem or the issue is not which doorway should I choose. The problem is when we make it to be a false either or choice and we get stuck and the wheel quits spinning. Square wheels go clunk, and there is a very different vision that God has for us, that we would know the heart of God and the heart for reconciliation of all things, and that we would be ambassadors of that and share that on God's behalf with the world. Amen.